All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? The sun is shining. It is a gorgeous day in the neighborhood, as they say, a Chamber of Commerce kind of day, both inside and out, as we are reunited and it feels so good. The man that comes back after jury duty is back in the building, as Barry is here along with Nick and myself.
I'm sure you guys had a good time without me. How'd it go?
Fun. Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, I bet. How many people called or texted and said they wish I'd never come back? I'm guessing, I was going to say 15 to 20 at least, and we only get like two calls a day.
I only glanced at the text line like once. So.
Nick had some admirer that said you and I both should be elsewhere and that he and Travis should do a show.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Nick had a lot of love yesterday.
Look at that.
But the same number followed up and said, it's listenable when Barry's here. So that guy was clearly a troll.
Yeah, that is weird.
He said that, and then like three or four texts later from the exact same number said,
Bunch
it's actually listenable when Barry's here. So it's a troll.
Bunch of haters.
Yep.
You know, it's like Mo was trolling yesterday.
I saw that.
Saying I was going to be Wally Pipped.
I saw that. it came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, all right, Mo.
Wait, you don't have to.
Yeah. He was like, you better read up on the story of Wally Pipped.
From Houston Family Nutrition, Mo.
Don't give him a plug now. Yeah. Everybody's calling for my job. See what happens? I'm gone one day, Nick, and you come in here and shine like a star.
No, not really.
And now my job is in jeopardy. Damn it.
Mo did that?
But it was definitely fun, though.
That's dirty.
Mo did that. He called me out. Said I was going to get Wally Pipped by Nick. Sucks.
Well, what happened?
So I guess, he just said, if you don't know the story of Wally Pipped, read up, because Nick did really good yesterday.
I'm not worried about Mo. I'm talking about what happened with you and jury duty.
Oh, well, we got there, and we hung out for a little while, and they started picking juror numbers and putting us in the room, and then they told me, you don't have to go in. So they put like 40 or however many jurors they put in there, the number wise. And I guess they had too many for what they needed. So I got to go home. I got lucky.
How many people were there?
It was a lot.
Really?
A lot. Yeah. A lot, lot. So I got lucky, man. But there was this one chick that was like, excuse me, sir. And then immediately I was like, oh my God, I'm a sir now. I'm a sir. She was like real young, you could tell. Yeah. And she was just like, I've never had jury duty before and I don't know what to do. I was like, pretty much you just sit here. You're going to sit here all day. There's nothing special about jury duty. And I was thinking about this, I saw a shirt online that just says guilty. And I was like, I need to buy this shirt for jury duty next time and just wear a shirt that says guilty. You're guaranteed to not get picked if you just wear that shirt. Although I'm sure the judge will be like, come up here. What's wrong with you? But I learned a lesson at the last jury duty that I did that I think I was telling Nick this, that so I got picked as an alternate juror one time, which is horrible because basically an alternate juror is like a handy of the jury world. It's not even missionary. It's just a handy because you have to go through the entire trial. So you sit there along with the rest of the regular jury.
Right.
The entire time you listen to all of the arguments and everything. And then the judge, we're done with the trial. The judge looks at us and says, okay, now you guys are going to have to go in and take what you've learned and this, that, and the other. Oh, by the way, the two alternates that have been here for weeks, you're dismissed. We'll call you if one of these guys can't make it. What? I had to sit through all this and I don't even get to vote now? That was the worst. But,
So you were officially there for what, 4 hours, I guess?
Yesterday, yeah. I mean, I think we got out about 1:30 or something like that.
Okay. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. We just kept it in our pocket.
We were wondering why we
never
didn't hear from you.
We
or
never
an
went in. No, they were, I was just talking to people and whatever.
He was out profiling, so we got the short end. We didn't know. We were like, given updates like, we're sure we're going to hear from Barry at some point. He's going to let us know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. If something crazy would have happened, I would have certainly tweeted it. But it was unfortunately nothing crazy or
You'd
funny.
Have tweeted it. You wouldn't have texted the two of us.
No, of course not.
Okay.
Why would
I
do that?
Just want to make sure
you guys would have been on
proper
air.
Line of communication.
Yeah, I wouldn't have disturbed y'all while you're on air. I would never do that.
I was hoping for a crazy story. You got kicked out or you said something inappropriate. A lot of people were betting. Maybe that. Even arrested. Like, that would have been kind of funny.
We were asking the listeners and stuff, but we said you would be the guy that said, so y'all know that I'm going to talk about this in detail.
Right on air.
And sell you out both on air and during my next show. So you guys tell me if you want me to be chosen or not.
You know, one jury, because I seem to always get picked. Like, it's weird, though. The last year on this show, I haven't had it. But leading up to it, it seems like I was going twice a year to jury duty. And I learned one year, I watched in amazement as these two guys just got out of jury duty. And we were, because I was one of the jurors that got a number, right? So once you get a number, then you go into the courtroom and find out what it's all about. And they ask you questions. And I remember sitting in there, and it seemed like this was like a corporal punishment gone too far case, almost like child abuse, but they weren't. I guess that was what the whole thing was about. Right? Was it corporate or was it just corporal punishment or was it child abuse? And so they asked this one guy, "Well, how do you feel about spanking a child?" And this guy goes, "I believe the Bible says that you're allowed to whoop a kid." And this other guy goes, "Damn right." And then they go, "All right, you two are excused." I was like, "Oh, damn it, why didn't I yell damn right too?" But that's what I learned in that experience was wait for someone to say something crazy and then just be like, "You're damn right."
I told the story yesterday, same thing. I heard people actually, they weren't even whispering. They were talking about it, going, "How can I get out of this?" And similar situation, they just decided to start screaming some really left wing, right wing, just decided to say something really outlandish. Next thing you know, they were both excused.
Yeah, but you got to be careful though, because they'll call you. But you wait, and when they ask you that question, that's what I learned is if they're gonna ask you a question, if you throw out like something kind of that's way to one side, and you're really passionate and angry, they don't want you. They just want to be like, "Well, you know, it's up to the individual." Yeah, you're getting picked. But if you're like, "The Bible says to beat a kid to an inch of his life," then they're like, "Okay, no."
Yeah, these people were like, it was a theft case or something like that. And they were like, "Yeah, I mean, I've had a bad experience because of the fact that someone broke into my house and I really wanted to kill him. And if I had a gun, I would have. And anybody that steals in my book is extremely, you know, should be punished."
They're definitely
They were like, "Yeah, you're excused.
Yeah,
you can move on."
See, that's just, and somebody tweeted me and was like, "Just yell something racist." I mean, I guess that would work. But
everything has a shelf life. Exactly. You got to be careful on that one. Hey, it would be my luck. Radio that's a racist.
It would be my luck. There would be a listener, and they'd be like, "Oh my god, I'm going to report this to Channel 13." Barry Labanek of ESPN Radio just shouted out a racist slur and to get out of jury duty.
Yeah. Or someone would just let someone on 790 go know about it, and then they just tell someone on 790, and that'd be all over social media anyway.
Oh, has that happened?
Oh yeah.
I need to get the scoop off air.
By the way, the tweet of the day yesterday or the text of the day came in from your friend. I know it's a surprise to you. OU Mike, when we were talking about this and wondering how you were going to get out of it, he texted us and said, "The courthouse is saying the only thing on today's docket is a case involving a comedian soliciting sex at a gay bar in Kansas." Not sure what that's about.
What was that place called? Rain? What was the name of it?
Wasn't he right?
It was in Wichita, Kansas. How does he remember that?
I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah, I think the place was called Rain, and I remember it was called Rain because it was raining at Rain, and there were holes in the roof, so it was raining indoors at Rain, which was weird. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Thanks.
We're all in the saddle. Nick did a good job holding down the fort. People were clamoring to wonder why they weren't your replacement on Twitter as well. Jermaine was all over that. But you know what? We are who we are for a reason. We are the usual suspects, and we call ourselves that because you are a part of the show. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. As I said, just getting started. So fasten your seatbelts and let's have a fun ride up until 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. We are back. So are you, hopefully, for another round through as we take you through a Tuesday here in the big city. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel. I feel like there's so much to catch up on just to get your opinions on what we missed while you were out.
Yeah.
Tough loss by the Cougs. Nick said he made it through because of St. Patrick's Day and alcohol was involved. But
yeah, I was disappointed for the Cougs, man. That was heartbreaking.
That was a tough loss for sure. But we talked a lot about it yesterday. And look, it's probably going to be a better next season for Kelvin Sampson. I mean, I felt like he and Joel mentioned this on the two-man show, which you can hear on SB Nation Radio. But yeah, I mean, two-man game, my bad.
Yeah, that's all right.
But yeah, I think he's going to do a lot more next season. I think you can only build off of this season. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not incredibly upset anymore.
I'm guessing you guys discussed making your free throws.
Well, two different things. Making your free throws, and then when you look at the end of the San Diego State game, which was extremely poor play defense that allowed them to get a clean look at a three that they should not have gotten, and the announcers were wrong. It could have won the game for San Diego State had it gone in, but length of the floor with that little of time, that should never happen. And then they don't guard the inbounds passer or defend the guy at midcourt who caught the first pass, and they cleanly execute everything that they needed to do and then made the buzzer beater. It shouldn't have come down to that. They were winning for over 39 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think part of it, you're right, not guarding the inbounds pass. You've got to have a hand in that guy's face. Mm-hmm. You've got to make it difficult. If you can see the court clearly and see who runs open, that's a big part of that. The biggest guy on that U of H team should have been guarding the inbound.
Jumping jack.
Yep.
I mentioned the correlation between J.J. Watt. There's a reason why passers, even if he doesn't knock it down, have a problem.
Put the hand up.
Because you're up in his face.
That's right. You put the hand up. You make it difficult to see the court because with that vision, man, that just makes it a lot easier to run the play too.
Right.
And I felt like if you were going to do that, they should have had I feel like they were playing off too much to begin with on that.
I said no man's land. They were in between both areas. Didn't do a heck of a job of recovering either way.
But you know what? I mean, that's going to happen. They're college kids. They played well. Congratulations. If you're a U of H Cougar alumni or student, you should be very proud of that team. They did great.
Yeah, check out sportsmap.com. I wrote an article on it. Also did a video on it for the Coors Light Hot Take. And the big thing was Kelvin Sampson did what he said he was going to do, what he wanted to do when he took the job. He wanted to return U of H to some kind of basketball prominence, wanted to get him back in the tournament. They won a tournament game for the first time since 1984.
Crazy.
Rob Gray was phenomenal the entire season. The Davis brothers, Amani Brooks, all those guys. Look, they were picked to be middle of the pack in the AAC. They finished third in the regular season, second in the tournament, then did what they did that I just mentioned. It was a great year for the Cougs, and hats off to Kelvin Sampson and his staff and the team, because I was looking at the recruits. They have one in the top 100, a point guard that they got that they were happy with, but they got a couple of the key is not just recruits that are coming in as incoming freshmen, but Sampson likes to get junior college transfers, i.e. Rob Gray. If they can do that again and they have some good recruits coming in, hopefully they just keep them at a level where they're at now and then build on that because they got a new arena, they got the new practice facility, things are looking up over there.
I mean, it only takes one. There's a ton of basketball talent in this city too. And you know, a run like they had this year can certainly go a long way in getting some of that, you know, maybe not name brand nationally recognized talent, but those guys, those core role players and bench players, instead of going somewhere else and being a role player, maybe they stay in Houston, which is only going to make that team better.
He and I were talking about it when he was an assistant with the Rockets and mulling over whether he should take the U of H job. And the one thing I said to him is, Houston's such a hotbed for recruits. Used to be you have to take planes, trains, and automobiles just to get to recruits across the country to try and convince them to come to your school. Now, you just get in your car and drive across town, and with all the high school talent that's here, even if you don't get the top 25, if you get five of the top 50 to 100 players in the city of Houston, you'll probably be a tournament team every year.
Yep.
That's how good the talent is in Houston. So hopefully he can keep it going over there. Definitely a good run, but I was pulling for him, and it was a heartbreaking defeat because, like you said, look, they wouldn't be in that game without Davis. But as much as he had made eight in a row and really came through in the clutch, missing three of four in the final minute was a detriment. I don't know. Charlie and I were talking about it yesterday. We both saw there was a picture an hour or so after the game, empty arena, everybody cleared out after media. He goes back and he's on the free throw line just standing there.
Man.
And you're like, man, you feel for the kid because you know that's one. He'll never forget the fact that make one, you're at least in overtime. Make two, and you're advancing no matter what.
Got to knock him down.
Yeah.
Got to knock him down. I'm guessing you guys talked a little bit of UMBC, K-State.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that not in our lifetime, and then it did. I had a friend of mine that said that nothing that happens the rest of the way will have the magnitude or impact that that game had, and I disagreed with that.
My thing is, can people just let it be? Like, I saw a thing, Colin Cowherd's out there saying, this isn't even the greatest win in national NCAA tournament play. It was Chaminade in Virginia. Dude, let the kids have their moment. Why do you have to immediately find something that can or cannot top it? Why can't you just be like, never happened before. Congrats to them. It's awesome. Great. They beat the number one team in the bracket in the country.
Right.
Just let it marinate, dude. Why do people always have to find, well, this wasn't the greatest win ever. People are just like, I don't know.
The
people
thing
are obsessed
is, everybody
with always
said
finding
we would
out
never
something.
Have it happen in our lifetime. Yeah. And it did. So you can figure it out. It's like when the Nuggets beat the Sonics that year, when the Nuggets were with Dikembe, were the 8 seed, and they beat a number one for the first time in the NBA playoffs. Yeah. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
But,
I remember that.
But I also said, don't let it take the magnitude of what a championship game run could mean, too, because you could have a Butler that was a half-court shot that kissed off the glass and almost fell through the hoop to beat a Duke. You could have Villanova at the buzzer here in Houston winning a national title on the last possible shot of the game. There are things that happen that can be as impactful, but don't take away from the moment.
Yeah, just let it.
Those UMBC kids busted their ass, and it happened.
Yeah, I don't get it. Let them have their moment. Why do we always have to compare it to what would be better?
Yeah, and the funny thing on the Cowherd thing, the Virginia thing happens twice. Virginia gets beat by UMBC. Virginia got beat with Ralph Sampson by Chaminade.
Yeah, that does suck.
So yeah, we covered that.
Did you guys talk how badass these Aggies are?
It was pretty impressive.
They dominated.
Very impressive.
Man.
And here's the thing. They actually have a legitimate shot to get all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it, but
I know
I'm looking at that bracket and I'm thinking, all right, so what are they? They're playing Michigan next.
Yep. Their bigs match up with Michigan. Their guards, I think, are better than Michigan.
And then they would either have I think Gonzaga scares me a little more than Michigan, just on what I've watched.
And both teams well coached, but more talent, like really solid talent on Gonzaga.
But if they play the way they played against North Carolina, if their bigs dominate,
yes,
the way Williams especially, that guy can jump out of the gym.
You got two NBA prospects there on the front line. So.
Williams, I'm watching this kid go after rebounds, and at one point they even said his head was above the rim. I'm pretty sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. Like, this kid is jumping, and I didn't watch any Aggie basketball this year. I just didn't. You guys know I don't care about college basketball. So to get to watch them in the tournament, and man, very impressive. So you wonder, what happened this year? If this team is that talented and they're able to take a team like North Carolina, who was also talented but not big, and handle them the way they did, you just kind of wonder, what the hell went on over there in College Station?
I mean, they had a couple injuries. They had a couple kids out. But at the same time, remember now, they got off to that hot start. They beat West Virginia.
Yeah.
Opened the season. Everybody thought West Virginia was a top five type team. They got off to a hot start. Then they just took that roller coaster ride down for a while, but they found it at the right time. So more power to them. You know, because like I said, they got a legitimate chance to advance again and win at least one, if not two more games, maybe even get to a Final Four. That's a hell of a story for them and their program.
Oh, it really is. You talk about helping recruiting.
No doubt about it.
I did see this is the second Sweet 16 in 3 years for them.
Oh, Sweet 16. Yeah. I was going to say, not Final Four, but yeah,
no,
Sweet 16.
No, second Sweet 16 in 3 years for the Aggie program. So
Billy Kennedy's doing his job, and he's a good dude, so we're happy to hear about that. And by the way, don't be John Calipari and start bitching about your seating before the tournament starts and then realize that with the teams left on your side of the bracket, no one's a higher seed than a 7 besides yourself. You got a pretty easy cakewalk to the Final Four, Johnny boy. Settle down.
Yeah. Kansas State and then the winner of Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada.
Yeah.
Kentucky's doing just fine.
Yeah, they're going to be okay.
Yep.
All right, we'll continue to move on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. H&P Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We're there as well and available for you. What's the usual suspects? ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into the big show as we continue to roll. It is Nick, it is Barry, it is Joel as we are all present and accounted for. So, Barry, I have to ask you this. I was thinking about this during the break.
Okay.
Right. As much as we go at it, I listen to your advice in a lot of ways that you don't listen to yourself for yourself, which is social media battles and things like that. But you've always told me that, you know, in terms of the show and the ratings and everything else, the best thing to do is take the high road, be humble, don't ever mention anything, right?
Right.
Because as we know, it's not an exact science. The ratings are kind of backwards. But, you know, it can go up, it can go down. When does that change? And when do you get to be AJ? Because AJ is just out there just like not even a trumpet. He's got some like 100,000-watt horn that he blows.
I mean,
GIFs and videos.
You do you, man. You do you. That's not going to be my style.
No, I'm with you. But I was just wondering.
I'm not going to be. And the one of the main reasons is because that's when it'll come crashing down around you.
Yeah, that's what I was fearful.
I mean, for me, if something good happens, I've learned this in my 43 years on this planet. If something really good happens, I'll be like, man, I'll be so excited and wanting to tell my friends and family and talk about it. And then as soon as I do, it'll get taken away from me. So that's the same thing. We can talk about how great we're doing in the ratings. As soon as we do, it's going to all fall apart. So I'd rather not jinx it. I believe in the jinx. Trust me. I've had it happen plenty of times. I don't want to jinx it. Plus, I'm still going to stand by the fact that at the end of the day, the way that they do ratings, it's garbage.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing that we've talked about in the past is they don't monitor social media or the app. So you don't know via the app or via the internet how many people are listening that way. So that makes it an incomplete science. And then like we've said over and over again, if our station and our shows in particular in the afternoon were monitored by the Golden Triangle, we'd be killing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I say it's all smoke and mirrors, and they don't. I don't know. You would think in today's technological age that it would be easier to do ratings and get a better idea of how they really work. But yeah, it is what it is. Just we just got to come in here and do the best radio we can do. To borrow a quote from Arian Foster.
Yeah, I mean that's
the best radio we can be.
And you know what? And so hopefully lately we've been doing that. So we'll continue to roll on with that.
Go ahead.
I did want to say the one thing that I wanted to make sure we got your opinion on, and we talked about a little bit because we talked about it yesterday, but you had mentioned on Twitter to some fans that you were going to get to it, so I wanted to give you the opportunity, but the Altuve contract signing was a big deal as well. We covered that, but at least hopefully that's the first of many dominoes to fall, but that was the guy that even Lunau and Crane and everybody said, look, this is our franchise. This is the face of our franchise. This is the guy. So they wrapped him up first. That was good news.
Yeah, and here's the thing. One, I think good value because you get him for two more years. You get him in his prime. You get him for two more years at a good deal.
Right.
And then you get him for the 5 years after that at his value. I mean, he's worth that money. But you're not into him for 10 years like some of the stars in this league have gotten. When you look at a 10-year deal with Giancarlo Stanton, you know, that's just too long. That's too much of a risk. I mean, you worry that at one point Albert Pujols was the best hitter on the planet. He couldn't touch this guy. And then he got that long contract, and then he got old. And that can happen to anybody, including Jose Altuve. So the fact that they have him through 2024, I think, is great. What I really like about it is not just the value that you got. You made a deal with a Scott Boras client. All right? That's good for a couple of reasons, because we know just Dallas Keuchel just signed with Scott Boras. So you've got that relationship going, and that's good. He got his money. You were able to work out a deal for the best player on the squad, period. So the rest of the dominoes should be able to fall. But what it also shows is they extended the olive branch to Carlos Correa, gave him $1 million, which was they doubled his salary, basically. And he got the second largest non-arbitration eligible contract in history. So you've extended a couple of olive branches to your best stars, and I think by doing this extension with Altuve, the Astros have shown if you'll be patient and play by the rules of baseball, not necessarily our rules, but the rules of baseball, we will reward you, Carlos Correa, you know, Dallas Keuchel, or whoever that they decide to sign out of the guys that they have that are going to be due up. So it's a good message, and it's an all-around good thing for the Astros.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we talked about it yesterday. And the big thing is, of the four, the core four, you know, Springer's an East Coast guy, Red Sox guy, maybe still a little bitter about how it was handled with how long they kept him down in the minors so they could control his contract. Well, that remains to be seen how he handles it and where he wants to go. But from a Correa perspective, it's a good sign you see what Altuve did. I'm not sure he's going to do the same simply because you mentioned Keuchel as well. Already rumors Keuchel's a Yankee next year. They're going to make a big move to get him, and that he, Bryce Harper, Machado, those are the guys on the Yankees wish list when their deals come up. So, you know, if they want to be one of these world record breaking contract guys, that's the team that's going to give
them
the money.
I was going to mention you mentioning George Springer yesterday because you were saying he may not forget how long they kept him in the minor leagues to save on money. But does he look at the Jose Altuve situation and say, look, they've got him for another 2 years at a really good value, and then he gets paid? Does he look at that situation and say, maybe it's okay and I should stay, or is he probably bouncing?
Well, that was my point. That's what I'm saying. The fact that they rewarded Altuve with this contract and this extension basically says to them, if you play by the rules of baseball, if you go through the arbitration process and everything else, when your time comes, we will take care of you. And that's the message that they've sent to the rest of the team. And by extending that olive branch to Correa, because they didn't have to give Correa $1 million. They absolutely didn't have to do that. I mean, they didn't. It was smart, but they didn't have to do that. And they chose to because I think they're trying to do right. They want to keep that middle, that core together, and regardless of what happens around them. The guys that probably aren't around are the guys like Bregman and Springer and Keuchel, but they want Correa and they want Altuve. So I mean, at the end of the day, you can't have everybody. There's a self-imposed kind of salary cap now with this luxury tax in baseball. And teams, including the Yankees, I mean, they're actually, their payroll is sitting at $171 million. That's sixth in the majors. You're talking about a team that has regularly led the majors in payroll, now sitting sixth behind like the Nationals. That doesn't happen very often. So teams are being more frugal with their money. We saw that in the offseason, but I think that's why it was a good sign for the Astros to say, yeah, we'll pay you when the time comes.
Because you know that there are general managers of other teams in the big markets like the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers that are just licking their chops going, well, they're not going to keep them all, and if they have problems with any of them, we're going to swoop in. This is at least a positive sign, and they did it well in advance, as Barry said, with 2 years remaining on the existing deal for Altuve. They got that done. So hopefully they can get something done before Correa hits the open market, because if he does, it's going through the roof.
Yeah, and the thing to keep in mind, too, with the Yankees is you can't pay all those guys. You can't pay Giancarlo Stanton, Machado, Judge. Yeah, Judge. I mean, there's a limit. You can't have Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, and Machado and Dallas Keuchel. There's just not enough room on these payrolls with the luxury tax.
You know, they got to take care of their own. I mentioned Judge. They got to take care of Judge. They got to get Gary Sanchez. They got guys, and I know they want to see it, make them prove it over a little bit of time. But at the same time, you know, sooner rather than later, that's the franchise going to throw money at you, just crazy money, to make sure that they not only keep their own, but then they go out and make a splash with big names.
Yep.
That Stanton contract's going to get ugly for them. I just have a feeling it's too long.
Yep.
So that's all I had. I just want to make sure you got that in because I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great thing that they did. And the whole thing about that, you know, Springer and having to wait too long, they did kind of do that, but that's nothing new in baseball. If you look at the Braves, they just sent down the best prospect in baseball in Acuna because they don't want to get that clock started. And that's just how baseball is. Do I think it should be changed? Yeah, but that's a whole other topic.
Kyle Tucker, we mentioned the same thing. It's exactly why the Astros, no matter what kind of a spring training he's having and how great he's going to be,
he won't be up until
he will not be
mid-April.
On the roster because they're not going to get that clock started. They just aren't going to do it.
And I don't understand why fans get so upset about it. The Braves fans are melting down on Twitter. Oh, why has Acuna already been sent down? He should be on the roster. You know what? As a fan of a club, you want George Springer to sit down. Maybe not as long as the Astros did Springer, but you want Kyle Tucker to go down to the minors until mid-April or the beginning of May. And the reason is he's guaranteed to be on your team longer.
Yep.
And what is a month?
Because look, what is three to four weeks compared to... Even if he was up on the big team, he's not going to have the playing time and make the impact immediately that you're expecting him to, because you have a full roster and complement of a World Series caliber team. And he's still going to get seasoning in the minors. And when you bring him up for the first time, or because you have a need in an opening, then you'll have a better chance for him to succeed and also get a lot of playing time. I mean, everybody wants to see him. It was different with Springer because of the fact that the Astros were really bad at the time, and you really wanted to see him because you knew it couldn't get any worse and at least get him some seasoning.
Well, you understand why they didn't bring him up. They didn't want to win. I mean, let's be real.
Absolutely. They totally didn't want to win. They didn't want the clock starting on him, and they didn't want to win. From this standpoint, different scenario. Best team in baseball last year with the World Series championship, full roster intact to do it again. And even if you bring him up, is he going to start and play every day? I don't think so. So, you know, that's one of
those things. It works out with Tucker because you've got the opportunity with Gurriel going down and being injured and probably not coming back till sometime in May. You've got the opportunity now to – you move Marwin Gonzalez to first, and Derek Fisher is going to have a chance to solidify himself as an everyday big leaguer in left field. If he can't do that and he doesn't do it by mid to the end of April, then you might see a Kyle Tucker come up, especially if Gurriel's injury lingers or he's not fully recovered and can't get recovered, and then he still has to serve the five-game suspension. That might be a scenario that plays out. It's not like they couldn't use a left-handed bat in that lineup either. So everything points to the fact that you might see Kyle Tucker at the big league squad this year, but most baseball teams are pretty cautious. And if you're coming off the World Series, a World Series championship, and your roster is already stacked, you don't need to rush the kid.
And that's what I mean. And if you want to do it in terms of as an organization, do it the right way. Fisher paid his dues. Fisher deserves the first crack at it to see if he's going to be that quality of a player, and then you go from there. So you're absolutely right, and we'll continue to move on. If there's things that you guys want to talk about, maybe we touched on it yesterday, get Barry's opinion, or you just want to keep moving on and there's something on your mind for today, give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, Usual Suspects. What else did we miss, Barry, or is there stuff that we need to get to before we get to stuff?
I updated and started the curse word bracket.
That had a life of its own this weekend.
Did it?
People kept tweeting me, too, and going, where's the list at? How many we got? What are we doing? Where are the brackets? How's it separated?
I'm like, Angel Munoz was, I didn't even know you saved it.
Yeah, I made the bracket. I tweeted it. It's the pinned tweet on my Twitter account. So if you want to go to @BarryIsFunny, I laid out the schedule for voting. It's all going to culminate at the end of the National Championship Day. So April 2nd, we'll have a curse word bracket challenge winner.
We'll have that on air for you, word by word.
So if I seeded everybody, and I just kind of, in hindsight, there's ways I could have done it a little bit better as far as the seeding goes, but it's not bad. I think I got pretty close with it. So
pleased with yourself?
Yeah, it could have been worse for sure.
Okay.
If you want to go vote, yeah, just @BarryIsFunny. Look at my first tweet. It's the pinned tweet. You'll see the bracket, and you should see a thing that says show thread. And then if you just look at the thread, you can start voting. Like, it's no surprise the F word is beating damn pretty
shocker
heavily, 98% to 2. There's one upset in the bracket. Everything else is as seeded as, but the one upset, we'll see how if I can figure
it out. Is it a 16 beating a 1, or is it?
It's a 5 beating a 4. So the curse word for poop, all right?
Yeah.
So dip poop.
Yeah.
Is beating SWAT, but replace the S with a T.
Okay.
Yeah, barely. It's 54% to 46%. That's the only upset. Everything else is, it's not even close.
right.
So that means what that means is I got the seeding pretty accurate.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I mean, it did get a life of its own, and I did see all the people on Twitter. I meant, like, you know, I know what you have them seated at, but I thought it was going to be like a huge upset, like a Maryland-Baltimore County type upset.
No.
More of a, it's a little surprising.
Yeah, I think this is Dr. Drain 290. I see the 0188, but he said only reason to bring up Tucker is if Springer or Reddick get hurt in the first month also. It's a good point because you remember there's a guy on this team named Jake Marisnyk that can roam center field for you.
Who had a really good offensive year last year.
And before he got hurt. And so Jake Marisnyk can play center, Reddick can move to left, and Springer can play right. And that gives you three big league guys that have big league experience that aren't learning the game that would know how to play it. But it also, I think, is going to depend a lot on the start that this team gets off to. Remember 2 years ago, they got off to a horrible start and it cost them the season. Yep. Last year, they got off to a great start. So let's see how it goes. If they get off to a bad start, no way you're bringing up a Tucker or somebody like that. You're going to have to go with the vets and let them hit themselves out of it or pitch themselves out of it, as the case may be.
Yeah, so, you know, and other news in Major League Baseball, as you look at it, we knew what happened with Yuli Gurriel early in the year, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. At least you're not the Dodgers. Justin Turner, their third baseman, Carrot Top, got hit by a pitch, broke his wrist. Good news is he doesn't need surgery. Bad news is he broke his wrist.
Yeah, he'll be out for a while. That team is deep enough to fade an injury like that. Although, I mean, when you look, I think he was fifth or sixth on the Dodgers in home runs. So he's got some pop, but he'll lead that team in average. Probably do it again this year when he comes back and he's healthy. Big for them in the playoffs, though. Huge for them in the playoffs.
He hit 322, 21 bombs, 71 ribbies. You're right. They are a deep team. They'll probably take Logan Forsythe, slide him over to third base, and then platoon second base with Kike Hernandez, Chase Utley, and others. But at the same time, yeah, that's a leader of your team.
Yeah. I tell you what, dude, that NL West, it's going to be ridiculous this year. You've got the Dodgers. You've got the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, who are actually probably better than they were last year.
And they were good.
The Giants are actually going to take wins away from all three of those teams because they're better.
Well, you add McCutcheon, you add Evan Longoria.
Yeah,
you have a healthy Madison Baumgartner.
Yeah, so the Giants are better. And the Padres aren't going to be as bad as they were last year. They're not going to be great, but they're not going to be terrible. Yeah. I mean, they'll still finish in the bottom, you know, third of the league for sure.
Giants had any pitching?
Yeah. They've got a decent rotation. Okay. The NL West, though, man, might be the best division in baseball.
Top to bottom?
Yeah, without a doubt. And then somebody asked, anyone in the AL West really challenging the Astros this upcoming season? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, don't sleep on the Angels.
No, they loaded up a little bit.
The Angels are set. They're better.
And that's without knowing what you're getting with Ohtani.
Yeah. You're gonna, that experiment, you've got to wait and see. But the Angels are better. I don't know that they'll compete against the Astros for the division necessarily, but I fully expect the Angels to be in wild card contention at the end of the season. The A's are they're all right. The wild card in this division, both wild cards is the Mariners and the Rangers. If they get decent pitching, both of these teams have the offensive power to compete with the Angels for a wild card. I mean, it won't surprise me if this division becomes the NL West of the last year, where the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies surprised everybody and ended up. That could be the Rangers. That could be the Mariners. Heck, that could be the Angels. So both of those teams, though, they got to stay healthy. The only thing that worries me about Seattle is King Felix is your ace and he's always hurt.
Yeah, Seattle needs pitching, but I like their lineup. And I like the fact that they continually, under the radar, add some really good veteran players that make them better offensively. And like you said, with the Angels, look, you never dispute how much money they have to spend. And they have arguably one of the best players in baseball every year in Mike Trout to build around. So that helps. But they actually went out and did some things, too. So it'll be interesting to see how it all breaks down. But again, barring catastrophic injury or some kind of meltdown, the Astros, with the fact that they've improved their rotation and they still have that lineup, they should be just fine.
Yep, I agree. I'm going to put together a full, like, 2018 MLB breakdown kind of preview of all the teams at some point for Sports Map within the next 2 weeks. So hopefully that'll get published.
Enjoy the hell out of every minute of that, too.
I love that stuff. I really do.
I know you do. So we'll continue to roll on with that if you want to talk some baseball. But the Astros still obviously working through spring training, but can't wait for the regular season. Oh, we went. That's Nick. We need to get his opinion on that too. Where are you on the gold rush? the fact that people waited overnight, had people bringing them donuts and breakfast so they could get into the team shop at Minute Maid to get the limited edition gold sparkly championship unis, t-shirts, hats, etc.
I'll give you guys one guess of where I'm at on that.
You got a jersey.
It's stupid.
With your name on it. Nick actually went off on the fact that even the t-shirts, they had the players' names and numbers on the back.
See, I don't want that.
Yeah, so that's what I said. The thing is, they had an orange one and a blue one. And the blue one came in both styles. They had one blue one with the name on the back and one that was just solid on the back. But they wouldn't do that for the orange t-shirt. And I would have picked the orange t-shirt for me personally.
I don't want a man's name on my back unless it's Laminec. And they don't make those.
Well, that would be cheesy.
Well, they should. They will.
There's no famous major leaguer named Laminec.
That's the other thing we said on you and jury duty, by the way.
What?
You were going to pull the whole, do you know who I am? We were expecting that.
Judge, excuse me, is being famous an excuse?
Yeah, do you know who I am? I don't have time for this.
And be like, yeah, what's your name? Barry Laminec. Never heard of you. Go sit down. Damn it, man, please. No, I would never do that.
All right.
What?
Okay.
Oh, look. See,
I'm just giving Joel, you. I'm getting you, throw, giving you
throw
back
those jabs
you do that
at him.
Exactly. Joel has the amazing ability to be able to take what you tease him about and then be like, okay, I'm just going to use this to you, whether it matters or not. I'm just going to say this.
You have no truth to when you bring it at me, so I bring it back. It's what we do. Before we wrap up the first hour, Max wants to get in here. We don't have the shortest wait times because we have a demand, but we do want you in on the show. Your opinions on Kansas, Max. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing,
man?
Hey, I'm just wondering, I never seem to hear too much about Kansas. I mean, Bill Self, legendary coach and all that. Never seem to hear too much about how they're doing on, you know, TV or the radio too much. I was just wondering what y'all thought. And their bench is a little thin, but just wanted to see y'all's opinion on how far they're going to get this year. I'll hang up and listen.
Honestly, Barry, if you want to take this first, I'd like you to break down.
I'll tell you this.
If you could break down Udoka Azubuike for me first, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so Max, I don't know if you're new to the show, but I don't listen. I don't watch a lot of college basketball, but I'll tell you this. I have eyes, and I can look at a bracket, and I can tell you that the fact that they're facing a 5 seed and either a 2 or 11 seed from the other side, a lot of it's going to depend on what happens between Syracuse and Duke. Mm-hmm. They'll probably be okay against Clemson, but stranger things have happened in this tournament. So other than that, I have no idea. I'm not going to break down Kansas basketball. Hell, I didn't even watch the Aggies, and I'm a fan of the Aggies. So I'll leave that to Joel.
Max, from my perspective, it's all about Azubuike because he was out. He was hurt. They think he's getting healthier. If he is healthy with his size and a true center, he can do some things. I would expect them to advance past that. But then they're going to face a Duke team that whether they decide to kill you with their zone and suffocate you, they've got big men that can score. And that's where the Kansas team's really going to be kind of tested, and we'll see. But, you know, they have the seed that they have for a reason. Can they live up to it? It's another story. We'll see what they do. Kansas-Duke would be a hell of a finish to get the winning team to the Final Four. That should be fun to watch. They've already, in my mind, because of what they started with and all the things they went through with ineligibility with players and stuff, had a good season. So we'll see how that all pans out. So we got the first hour in the books. Barry's back in the saddle, and we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, just like Max did, you can call. Otherwise, you can text that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter, as we are all available and accessible throughout the show and beyond. Right now, I want to tell you about those Rockets. We know they're playing the Blazers tonight. They're going to wrap up the best record in the NBA, the number one seed in the Western Conference. And tickets are on a demand like you would not believe. Therefore, the time is now if you want to wrap up your season tickets. They're available at all price ranges. But the great deal right now that the Rockets are doing with their club seats is something they've never done before. They're doing a deal with their club seats right now where you lock in for the next 3 years, they won't raise the price year to year. You lock in for one price for 3 years, and that's all you're going to pay. No price increases. No, oh, by the way, last minute, we're bumping the ticket prices up on this level or that level. You lock in your club seats now. You are a VIP. For the next 3 years, you pay the same price. There will be no ticket increases. And as an added bonus and benefit, you also get priority for this year's playoff tickets. Everybody wants to go to the playoffs. They especially want to go when your team's got a chance to win it all. I just told you, number one seed in the West, number one overall record in the NBA. Who wouldn't want to go to the playoff games? Those tickets are going to be really hard to get, if not impossible. Well, if you get in on this plan, you get playoff ticket priority. You get a chance to get tickets for this year's playoffs as well. It's the first time ever the organization has offered this, so check it out. Go to Rockets.com. Call 713-627-DUNK. You'll get with a ticket rep. They'll walk you through what's going on. They'll see if the club seats are the ones that you want, if you want to get to a different price level, you can't lock in for 3 years, but you can still get some tickets in all those different price ranges, but they're going fast. Rockets.com, 713-627-DUNK.
Truth is hard to swallow.